won't sit back, stand idly by, watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guts, don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me, don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free, and I damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Time has come, gonna take a stand, spread these words all across the land, from sea to sea, don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends, gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns, don't you tread on my freedom, God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free, and I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. This is the second hour on this Friday, TGIF Friday, here January 31st, the last day of January 2025 edition of Your Defending Fathers with Trucker Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. Got a text message from Pastor Chatfield this morning. James Buchanan, the 15th President of the United States. As I'm having, again, technical difficulties adding him into the show. I don't know why this is happening. Let me see if I can reconnect him. There he is. He's on, not on the call. Click this and hit that. And hopefully this will work. Technology, love it when it works and absolutely hate it when it doesn't. There he is. Hey, good morning, Pastor Chatfield. You want to talk about the 15th President of the United States, James Buchanan. Just go ahead and unmute your microphone. We'll be good to go.
Yeah, I'm getting to my radio spot. I'm on the road. I got about 1 minute to get there, but you can hear me okay. I'm sorry but for the road noise here. But
that's okay. You're a traveling man this morning.
Yes. Well, we got so much going on at the school. I wanted to get to a quiet spot, but I can talk here, and I'll be in a very quiet spot here in a second.
Oh, we can hear you. We can hear you just fine. You're just driving. We get it. Why did you choose this particular president for today's lesson?
Well, for starters, I'm reading this book that I'm about half done with. It. It's by Eric Larson. It's entitled The Demon of Unrest. It talks about all the events leading up to the Civil War. James Buchanan, the 15th president, was the president, Democratic president of the United States, when Lincoln was elected. He did, when he ran in 1856, he promised that he would not run for a second term, and he didn't. He didn't run for a second term. And so he was a one-term president, and he saw all these things happening. He was a Democrat. He was from Pennsylvania, a northern man, disliked slavery, didn't believe in it, but then looked at the Constitution and didn't say, well, I don't see that I can do anything against it. Plus the fact he was, he had a lot of Southern friends. The South supported him in 1856. But now, as states began to secede from the Union, he didn't like it, but he felt like he couldn't do anything about it. He did his best to compromise and make things happen. And one of the things you get from Buchanan, and we'll talk about this throughout the hour, is compromise does not always work. I've heard a lot of historians even say, I heard Shelby Foote say this, which is really ridiculous. I mean, he's the guy that wrote the book, you know, Gods and Angels, and the movie Gettysburg. Have you seen the movie Gettysburg?
Yes.
It's upon his book, and then Killer Angels is the name of the book. And then he wrote another book, Gods and Angels. He said, we failed because we couldn't compromise. Listen, the more I learn, the more I'm convinced there was no compromise available here. It just wasn't to be. It couldn't happen. Yeah, there were events that nobody, even Lincoln or Buchanan, nobody could have done anything to prevent the Civil War. It was coming, and there was just no two ways about it. It was coming. And
you've actually talked about this many times, that you think it was completely preordained by God that this had to happen. The country had to pay, had to shed blood for the sin of slavery. You've talked about it many, many times. So with that, we are coming up on a hard break. Let Mr. Chatfield get into a good location, settle in. We'll continue with the lesson plan, 15th President of the United States, James Buchanan. Short break, away from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
At Royal Tire in Petoskey, we know that you've got things to do and places to go, and you need safe and reliable tires that will get you there and back every time. Tires like the Michelin Defender LTX or the Michelin Cross Climate 2. We believe in these tires so much, we put them on our own vehicles. So stop by Royal Tire today and let our tire experts find the right Michelin tire to keep you and your family safe. When you think tires, think Royal Tire in Petoskey.
Remembers their moment, the moment Granddad handed down his old rifle. At Curtis Gunsmithing in Petoskey, we respect traditions. We also know that that old gun might not be in the same shape it was when Granddad gave it to you. Mr. Tom Curtis, the gun doctor, will take good care of old Betsy. He'll get her shined up and looking good as new. Curtis Gunsmithing is the one that you can trust with your family traditions. Give us a call at 231-838-5571. And as the gun doctor says, anything but an Abrams tank.
If you have pain in your back, neck, shoulders, hip, knees, wrists, or feet, Dr. Gary Willey's Chiropractic Services in Sheboygan has a robotic laser treatment for you. This technology takes away pain, inflammation, and promotes healing. Experience robotic laser pain relief at a special new customer price. Call us for fast relief Monday through Wednesday to learn more and to schedule an appointment at 231-627-4300. Again, 231-627-4300. Scott Hawley came to our home and explained all the benefits of investing in a SafeStep walk-in tub and shower. After hearing all the options and features, all while using fresh, chemical-free water every night, made our decision a no-brainer. Call or text Scott at 231-534-0755 to schedule a free home visit. Mention Trucker Randy and get a $500 discount. Again, call or text Scott at 231-534-0755.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. I support this show, and I would like to offer you our biggest discounts for listening. So please go to our website, MyPillow.com, and put in the promo code at the end of this message to get the biggest discounts. Again, thanks for listening, and God bless.
Thanks, Mike. Folks, go to MyPillow.com and enter the promo code TRUCKERRANDY, or call 800-654-9659.
Do you have a fear of running out of money during retirement? Or maybe worried about another market crash as the one we experienced in 2008? I have solutions. Whether it's for education, family, retirement, gift giving, or simple protection of your hard-earned money, I have a number of contractual guaranteed payouts to choose from. Call Laura today at Bogdan Insurance, 231-264-6890. Again, 231-264-6890. Serving Northern Michigan since 1998.
Hey everybody, welcome back into the show. Second segment of our lesson plan discussion with Pastor Chatfield, the 15th President, James Buchanan. Now, you're saying he was a Democrat and he was elected in 1856, heading into the Civil War election of 1860.
Correct. He was what was known as a doughface. He was a northern man with southern sympathies. He didn't believe in slavery, but was sympathetic to it. And his supporters were mostly slave owners or slave states, I'll put it that way. And he would just wanted the problem to go away. And he did everything he could to try to deal squarely and fairly with the North and the South. On the one hand, he did not believe that a state had the right to leave the Union. But on the other hand, he didn't believe that he had any power to stop it either. And so all he tried to do was to smooth things over and work with everybody. But things had gone so far. And years ago, I don't know, a couple of years ago, remember we did who was the worst president? Most historians say he was a terrible president because he didn't do anything.
Sure.
And I'm a little bit more sympathetic now because he was unable to do anything. He couldn't. There was a chasm that couldn't be fixed. It wasn't going to be fixed. This is Eric Larson's book, and let me read just a portion of that. He said, Seward, who was the senator from New York, William Seward, and eventually ended up as Secretary of State under Lincoln, and he vied for the 1860 nomination, lost it to Lincoln, but joined the Lincoln administration. During the lame duck time, when Lincoln had been elected, and first South Carolina, then Florida, then Mississippi, and deep South states were seceding from the Union, he did his best. Seward did, Buchanan did, others from both North and South to avoid the war. And Seward gave a speech that said, we don't want war. Even though he was considered almost an abolitionist, though he wasn't quite an abolitionist, but he was trying to compromise. Compromise wasn't going to work. So let me read this. What Seward had not addressed in his speech, and perhaps did not truly understand, was that at this point in the crisis, during the lame duck between the election in November and then the ascension of Lincoln to the presidency in 1861 March, the thing that the South most resented was the inalterable fact that the North, like the rest of the modern world, I'm going to stop there. I'm going to argue with Eric Larson. Like most of the modern world, most people in Europe and most people in the United States condemned slavery as a fundamental evil. See, what had happened now, because of the Second Great Awakening, the abolitionist, Uncle Tom's Cabin, a book written by Harriet Beecher Stowe, which portrayed the evils of slavery. You could just see that slavery was evil. And it wasn't just we didn't want the slave states to have power. No, we were starting to believe that slavery was evil. And so in so doing, in calling slavery a fundamental evil, in so doing, abolitionists and their allies impugned the honor of the entire Southern white race. For if slavery was indeed evil, then the South itself was evil, and as echelons of gentlemen, the chivalry, were nothing more than moral felons. And see, what the South, especially the property classes, the aristocracy, which was still there in the South, they consider themselves a higher moral order. And what was happening now here is that they were not just saying slavery was a peculiar institution and something that we need for cotton and for our economy. No, it's now they were viewing it as a positive moral good. Okay, but the chivalry, thanks to Edmund Ruffin, James Hammond, and others. I mean, I mentioned them last week. There were some people. James Hammond was probably you've never heard of him. He was he was a senator from South Carolina. He was a former governor of South Carolina. It was he that gave the speech, "Cotton is King." You ever heard the phrase,
King Cotton? Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And he was saying, look, there's not going to be a civil war. We're going to keep, but if there was, the South will come begging because their entire economy will fall down because the world is dependent on cotton. England will come to our aid because their economy is built upon cotton. And a lot of Southerners started to think that cotton was king and that the North could not survive without cotton. Britain could not survive, or France could not survive without cotton. And he was arguing
all those foreign countries purchased exclusively all their cotton from the United States, correct?
Right. And so they thought, and argued by this James Hammond, that don't worry. I mean, if there is a war, we're going to win it easily because we are the dominant economic power because of cotton.
Sure.
And cotton was important. That was important, no question. But it was more than that. And there was another guy that was mentioned by the author here, whose name is Edmund Ruffin. He was from Virginia. He had long white hair. He was a radical secessionist. He traveled to South Carolina. He traveled to Florida. He traveled to Alabama, encouraging secession. And as a matter of fact, when the first shot is fired on Fort Sumter in South Carolina, which initiates the Civil War, he was given the honor to fire the first cannon to do it. And so guys, these guys were arguing that the South is morally superior to the North, and that slavery is just not—it's not an evil that must be tolerated, as say George Washington would have said, or Jefferson. Both Washington, Jefferson, Madison, who had slaves, they didn't believe in it. They didn't like it. Remember, George Washington did free his slaves upon death, but they were saying, "I don't know. I don't know how to get rid of it." And it was put in our Constitution in order to. It was a political compromise that got it in our Constitution. Three different times alluded to slavery. Otherwise, the South wouldn't have joined the Union. We would not have had a United States of America. And so they thought it would eventually die out again. But by the 1850s, it wasn't not only dying out, it was becoming more and more entrenched. Okay, so these guys had persuaded themselves, Hammond, Ruffin, and others. And he spends a lot of time in this book talking about their they're kind of unknowns, but they really were kind of influential here. A different reality. Slavery was a positive good. It was endorsed by the Bible. Let me stop. Okay, the Southerners argued that slavery was endorsed by the Bible. Now, it wasn't, but slavery was recognized by the Bible. Slavery existed. And there is things, even into the New Testament. Servants, give unto your servants, obey in all things your masters, according to the flesh. Okay, if you're a slave, obey your master. That you say, well, Pastor Chaffee, I thought you believed in the Declaration of Independence and that slavery was evil. I do. I did. I do. But there is a time for that. And in the Roman Empire, you were slaves. There was no possibility for, you know, you had a guy named Spartacus who tried to do it, and tens of thousands of people were slaughtered. There was no opportunity to get rid of slavery in the Roman Empire. So in that setting, the best thing you could do was to be a good servant, a good slave.
Right.
The slavery in America was different in that it was strictly racist. It was completely based on race. Black people were created by God to be slaves. So they were taught. And it's they're enduring the punishment, the curse put upon Ham, so they were taught. Now, that's not what the Bible teaches, but it's a long argument. If you read the Bible, you see that there's slavery in the Bible. So the Bible does recognize slavery, but it doesn't endorse it. But now the South was saying, no. Slavery is good. It's a positive good. It's a blessing to these people. And you are now calling it a sin, and you're calling us sinners. That was a big deal to them. Okay? And so it was, they were saying, and I'm going back to reading, again, Larson's book. He said, slavery was a positive good and was endorsed by the Bible. In anthropological observation, even two famed northern anthropologists, Louis Agassiz and Charles Morton, both of Harvard, no less, had proclaimed on the basis of purportedly scientific research that the black race was not only inferior, but a different species altogether. I mean, that's how ridiculous this was getting. Now, remember this, for the love of money is the root of all evil. Slavery, people had slaves because you could make money off slaves, especially after the invention of the cotton gin. You can make money off it. And now your mind ran ahead and you needed a moral justification for your sin. Now you've got to say, oh, the Bible's for it. Okay. But if slavery was good, then slave owners were good. And anyone who said otherwise abraded their honor, something no Southerner could forgive. They believe themselves to be morally superior. Okay, so again, Eric Larson writes, Lincoln had only a partial grasp of this reality. Okay, at this point he did. And he says this numerous times, even in his first inaugural, Lincoln says something like this. Lincoln says, you think slavery is right and ought to be extended, while we think it is wrong and ought to be restricted. That, I suppose, is the rub. It certainly is the only substantial difference between us. See, all Lincoln wanted to do, and he made it clear over and over in all his speeches, in his first inaugural, I just want to prevent the territorial enlargement of slavery. I don't want it going into the territories. That's all the Republican Party said. But the South, that wasn't good enough. But it was here, in this clash of moral perception, that hatred simmered and violence became imaginal. More than simply a substantial difference. Here's what Larson says, and it's a good line. I love this line. It was a chasm that even the most generous package of concessions could never bridge. People like William Seward, people like James Buchanan, and many, many others were looking for some way to compromise something. There was a meeting by people that were saying, let's come up with a constitutional amendment which guarantees that states that want to have slavery can have it. And Lincoln, in his first inaugural, said, well, I haven't seen it, but I'm not necessarily opposed to that. It's implied in the Constitution that you can have slaves 3 times. But if you want to make a constitutional amendment guaranteeing it, I wouldn't be opposed to it. But now here was the rub. And James Buchanan didn't get it. If you say slavery is evil, sinful, but you can have them, the South felt the insult of that. They felt insulted. It wasn't enough to say slavery, you can have it. You've got to fully endorse it. You've got to say that it is good. And that's what they wanted Lincoln to say, and Lincoln wouldn't say it. He would not go that far. He'd promised not to touch it, but he's not going to endorse it. And in the end, that's why the South hated Lincoln so badly and why Buchanan could not see it. And there were many factors that brought Buchanan to the spot where he just threw up his hands and basically said, you know what? I can't help this. I can't do it. I can't fix it. Yep. Here's what he said this. Buchanan said, I feel that my duty has been faithfully, though it may be imperfectly performed. And whatever the result may be, I shall carry to my grave the consciousness that I at least meant well for my country. He didn't want the war, but he just didn't know what to do about it. Frankly, I don't see how anybody could have stopped it. So I give Buchanan a little more credit than I used to.
Interesting. Very interesting. Good point to take a break. Get some more coffee. I got a couple of comments for you when we get back. James Buchanan, the 15th president of the United States, right before the Civil War. We'll be right back.
This is Michigan News Source, your award